pleasure tonight to introduce my old friend Donna Lay, also known as Swami Nityananda Saraswati, who I've been lucky enough to be associated with for the last 14 years. And I see a lot of faces out here that I already know, that already know Donna, as we call him. But I'm going to treat you to something that maybe some of you have not known, even though you've known him for a while. And I'm going to read to you a press release about him. Ordinarily, I wouldn't read it, but it has so many facts in it that I want to get straight that I thought I'd share them with you. First of all, Adano, he looks Oriental, but he's actually born in South America in British Guiana. And his ancestral background is both Chinese-Mongolian from his father, as well as Spanish-Carib-Indian from his mother, kind of unusual combination. He calls himself Heinz 57 variety. His spiritual heritage and training is both Western, that is to say, he was brought up in the Roman Catholic Church, but it's also Eastern in that he has studied Buddhist from his father. Upon completion of his early studies with private tutors, he came to the U.S. In order to work as a technician with RCA Corporation, and that's skipping a whole bunch of stuff about how he became an accomplished master tailor at a very early age and had his own business. Later, he went to Canada to open a restaurant, and while living there, he served as director of the Self-Realization Meditation Center in Montreal. In this position, he taught yoga and meditation classes for a number of years under the guidance of the great master Paramahansa Yogananda, who I think most of you are familiar with. Adano has done extensive on-site research on prayer and healing techniques of the North American and Canadian Indians. And I have recently had the very lovely experience of meeting one of his blood brothers, a Cherokee Indian in Arizona, who's the chief medicine man there. They are great friends, and they have wonderful stories to tell on each other. So that's a real treat. He has also spent time in Mexico with the Mayan and Aztec people, working in these areas of study. In 1969, Adano received the title of Swami Nityananda Saraswati. This event took place at SMU in Dallas, Texas, at McFarland Auditorium, of all places. And I believe he's the only Swami that has ever been Swami here in the United States. So it's a very rare thing. And the history of it is written in the books in India. He was Swamied or initiated by Swami Ananda Saraswati of New Delhi, India, who was one of Mahatma Gandhi's foremost aides in the movement for India's independence. He performed the ceremony and ordained him Swami Nityananda of the Saraswati order. This order is an ancient yogic order and signifies that it is a spiritual path through knowledge and wisdom. And hence, Adano is, we all love him for his giving us scientific explanations for spiritual phenomena. Adano has meditated for more hours and more days and more years than any of us even want to relate to. It's just such an impossible task for those of us who are striving to achieve what he has. And he spent many years in the Mojave Desert in solitary retreat. He has been working in and teaching yoga and metaphysics, as well as lecturing around the country. He travels from coast to coast several times a year and has also acquired a Doctor of Naturopathy degree and is a licensed acupuncturist and therapist and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I once asked Adano, you know, where you learned everything, and he pulled out this drawer and there were about 5,000 little pieces of paper that were degrees and courses and all kinds of things he had taken, and so I quit asking after that. He comes to us today from Houston, where he has the Adano Lay Clinic, which many of us know and love. And he teaches meditation and all kinds of self-transformation techniques. And from now on, he's all yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Simpson. I don't know how I can live up to that. Well, tonight, we're gonna make the program in two parts. Most people are interested in knowing what meditation is and the actual science of it, and then question and answers. So the first part, we'll go right into meditation as an actual science. Most of us are exposed to the word meditation, and I grew up also with the notion that meditation was something you did like this. You sit all day and pay no attention to nobody. After many years getting nowhere further than my nose, I came in contact with a great teacher called Paramahamsa Yogananda. He really turned me on to what meditation actually was. Because I wrote him a letter and asked him, where can I buy 100 books on God? And after all, it's a hard thing to find. And he wrote back and said, what is all the knowledge in all the books in comparison to 15 minutes silence in the soul? Well, to tell you the honest truth, it took me 18 years to experience 15 minutes silence in the soul. It's quite a long process. And I don't say that you can master a science like meditation overnight, because it's the culmination of all sciences. But to break it down so that you can comprehend it and get the best use of it, we have to go to the old Chinese concept of thinking. Chinese people like to put all their knowledge like a CIA code in a word puzzle. They hide all their information in words, and that's how they used to preserve their wisdom. So a word like meditation kind of filtered down through the centuries and ended up as a sort of behavior. And most of us never knew what it really meant. But we can't seem to get rid of the word meditation. No matter how we try, we still come back to this behavior, go meditate. If you ask any realized person, they'll tell you, go meditate. So years went by, and then I myself had to confront it. Meditation is an actual science, but the word and the process of the science is locked up in the word. It took me a long time to decipher it. You'll notice how I write the word meditation versus how you're familiar to write it. I'm writing it from the top to the bottom of the board instead of across the board. M-E-D-I-T-A-T-I-O-N. And it's pronounced meditation. And then you ask somebody, what do you do? And they sit down and say, like this. You can imitate it as much as you like, you ain't getting any further than your nose. And that's what we discover. But the way it is written in today's context is called an anagram. Or some people may call it an acronym. Is that the correct term or the incorrect term? An anagram or an acronym?
An acronym.
An acronym. An acronym is a word made of what? Of many other words utilizing the first letter of each word, right? That is familiar to most people who are going to school and have to learn how to be a journalist or read the English grammar and so forth. Sooner or later you have to learn it. But it's a way ancient people hid a lot of their knowledge. and then classify it and then divide up. When we break it down, we are running into a fantastic science. The M in the word meditation deals with mind. So when they tell you to close your eyes and sit down and look inside your head, and don't bother them, most of these teachers would do that. And as I was growing up to be a priest and all these various, they have, oh, shut up and practice your meditation. Close your eyes. Get your mind calm. Get some peace of mind. Well, after a while you get bored with those statements, you're not getting any place for them in your nose. So mind is the first letter, and what is mind? Most of us think we know what the mind is. And yet when we actually try to work with it, we find that we know very little of mind. Mind is consciousness. But you can't have consciousness unless you breathe. That's why I said it first, you end up with your nose. The time they cut the cord and make you a human being, if you don't hold the air, they're going to bury you. Like it or not, that's the way the cookie crumbles. So you better breathe. So for many centuries, Eastern men ran down the heads of the student to the chela or child growing up. Come on, chela, come on, child, get your head straight now, start breathing, do some breathing exercises, pranayama, control the respiration, you're going to get mind control. That's good. But with the advent of modern machinery and modern equipment, we discover that mind is actually brainwave oscillation. Brain wave oscillation. How this brain oscillates? By the respiratory rate. As we inhale and exhale the oxygen, a gas that produces the phenomenon called consciousness in us, we can now organize thinking or computing in the brain to have workable use of input and output of ideas. Sounds very mechanical. Don't sound spiritual enough, right? Don't get fooled. Spirituality is not a holier than thou attitude. Spirituality is the cosmos surrounding you, like it or not. It doesn't give a hoot if you recognize it, but it sure gets you where it wants to get you. And if it wants to get you to shape up and fly right, or think right, this spiraling power called mind force, working through the brain of every human organism, will come to grips with its true nature by one simple method called pain. There's no other way you can learn it faster than other than pain. It's hard to learn about yourself through love. Though love is necessary, it's recommended by the wisest men to love yourself, to love God, the Creator, and all the principles, all your fellow men, but it's going to be much harder. You don't grasp it as fast until somebody hurts you or disappoints you. Then you find that the painful sensations forces you to think beyond your present limitations. And that's how come Buddhism came into existence. They taught the compassionate attitude to force the individual to become compassionate by recognizing pain as a means to stimulate progress or growth. mind. Is his storehouse for letters of the alphabet and numerals. You don't have anything else to store in there. Out of the letters of the alphabet, you make words. And from the words, you make language. And from the language, you make games of behavior. And from the games of behavior, you make a process of existence. Then you start counting how much you got, and you're now with numbers. But you're going to feed this particular behavior with energy. Enervating. Gotta be going on the ball. I'm not gonna be moving. Enervating. Well, it soon ends up to be energy going. It's called the ego. Energy on the go. That's how we're going. Big go. But it can't go just like that. We can't have letters of the alphabet forming words, creating conditions, and adding up the plus and the minuses and numbers of what you have and what you don't have. And just keep going. So it takes direction. Some people like to call it destiny or destination. You gotta have some destination to go. I left Houston to come here to Santa Fe. The plane landed in Albuquerque. That was quite a trip to me. But I landed in Albuquerque. So you see, I have to have destination, no matter I like it or not. No matter where I want to go, I have to have some destination or direction. This is called destination. Or some people call it destiny. Great brother of ours, long time ago, by the name of Newton, lying in his backyard and looking up a tree and saw an apple bit like this. He called it gravity. Well, that's the way it got to go. Everything that falls must go. But he never saw this. This is what he never saw. He's positive to this day. What intervened between the chalk falling from this hand, and not arriving. To those who have encountered that intervention through pain, know it as grace. They know it as compassion. They know it as forgiveness. They know it as growing up. They know it as taking responsible action for your behavior. See how many ways you recognize this intervention. For that intervention, we have a very important part of our nature brought out. Individuality. You don't recognize individuality as a child until you're forced to do what? Take responsibility for yourself and others. You don't see it right away. You don't know why it has to be exercised. But until you are forced to do something for somebody, a sense of individuality starts to express through you. And therefore, meditation as a science is not a type of science that I can pass on to you.
I can't eat and you be filled up. I can't meditate and you be God realized. Therefore, it's a very individualistic exposure to yourself, not to me. I got to be individually exposed to me, just as much as you have to be individually expose yourself to yourself. Come into grips with yourself at the individual level. Nothing to be afraid of, but you may not be informed, that's the one problem with it, what you may find inside of your head, or what has been placed in there while you were growing up. So the direction of the science of meditation as a science is going towards an individual experience, not something that we can give away or take. It's something each one has to experience for himself. Well, what is individual about each one of us that is make us unique? The letters of the alphabet are numbers. Adam Lee? Yeah, that's me. John Smith? Sorry, that one. How did you know you're Adam Lee? Well, A-D-A-N-O-L-E-Y calls what I am. G-O-H-N S-M-I-T-H, not that. Letters of the alphabet. How many John Smiths are in the room? I don't know. How many Adam Lee? Oh, one. Is it two? That's what we got. This is so individual science of self-confrontation. It places us at the point of our mechanism called thinking. Now, you're familiar with this statement. As a man thinketh in his heart, that is what he is, right or wrong? You heard that statement? Good. Therefore, the crux of the whole purpose of living is to what? To think. What more have you got? If oxygen doesn't come in to allow you to have consciousness, would you think when they cut the cord? And from the time they cut the cord, they're busy poking a problem in your mouth to wake up and accept the capacity to be responsible to think for yourself. Even when you get a driver's license, you better think for yourself or you get an accident. See, thinking. So, there the wise man now says, oh, we've covered this science so far as individual thinking, otherwise known as biological computing, like a computer. What you put in, you get out. You can't put in B and get C coming out. You gotta put in B and get B come out. See what I mean? Now, here's a conversation. I'm dialing 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 5, 4. Pick up the phone. Hello. Which words or letters you have to recognize? Telephone. No matter how I try to tell the other guy on the other side of the machinery, I can't get away from the word Bell Telephone. All I can tell him, I'm trying to call you on this telephone to let you know I'm coming over soon. But you don't know what the other words mean, so it doesn't mean anything to you as far as your brain is concerned. It's shut out. It's not computing. And for that reason, we don't have a right to judge anybody. Because what A may mean to me may not mean to you. What B will mean to you may not mean to me. See what I mean? The way we are all programmed in puts us in different references and therefore will create a great deal of conflict in the computing and in the exchange. We have to be more rational now and try to see what is it that is beneficial about meditation that could be an asset to the individual, let alone be a science. It's the next function that follows. We think. We love to think. But let me ask a good question. Can you take a bath in a blueprint tub? Can you take a bath in a blueprint bathtub? Nobody can take a bath in a blueprint bathtub, but you sure can take a lot of what a bathtub would look like, how you like to dress it up, paint it up, and I'll do everything. But when it comes to take the actual bath, it's not there, right? So no matter how much we think, if we don't actualize or act, we have nothing. Therefore, you may be familiar, thought, words, deed, action. I can think of the thing, I can talk of it, I can make a lot of excuses for it. When it comes to take the actual bath, I need the actual bathtub to get in and take the bath. I can't fool myself after 5 days I'm clean. I take a bath. You see, it's too practical, too actual. So, think as we like, it's insufficient to live alone. It must be backed up with action. Now, that's a very peculiar word to an Oriental mind. Some people call it action, but in my mind, I'll put a little dash between it. And now we're confronting a funny phenomenon. Act, I am. What are we surrounded by? Ions, right? Do we live in an atmosphere or an atomsphere?
Atomsphere.
Where do we live?
Atomsphere.
We live in an atomsphere. Is planet Earth your home or is the cosmos your home?
Cosmos?
Is planet Earth your home, or is the cosmos your home? The cosmos means the creation.
Cosmos.
Good. Then we are the child of the Creator. And if we are the child of the Creator, we are the living ions. Because He made us in His own
image.
Good. If He made us in His own image, you see the what? You see the Father. And I see the Father right there sitting there in those chairs too. So you're fooling yourself that you are not the Father. You are, and I, the Father. Together, the totality make up the one. Two things equal to the same thing are themselves equal to one another. Science, at the same time, philosophy, at the same time, religion. Tying up itself for the first time in an actual experience. Not to be fooled by thinking, but to be more vibrant in action, taking action. It is not practical if you don't direct the action. Impractical action has no reward. Practical action directed to constructive behavior has its own reward. So it must be focused. Therefore, all actions in us are focused towards a result. I drove in a car today from Bishop Lane to get to this building with the purpose of speaking to you. To that end, I came. All great teachers, all realized people make the same observation. Even you and I have to make the same observation. You left home to come here. First to hear me, and then to tell me off. What are your questions? The quest for the island.
Quest for the island.
Because you're, that's what you're looking for. Not eye off. Then that is called two words. To move toward. When you want to ward off something, what do you do? Push it aside. Meditation is the science of doing what? Warding off or pushing off what? Interruptive letters of the alphabet and numbers in the brain known as the internal dialogue that creates anguish between your right hemisphere and your left hemisphere, therefore clogging up your nostril with mucus. And so you sit down trying to push this information. Why is my brain telling me all kinds of crazy things? Why can I not settle down and be plain blank? Piece is blank. Brother Jesus was going to say, the peace I give, the world don't give you. The world give you 6 feet under the ground and may you rest in peace. He don't give that kind of peace. He doesn't give a blank. He gives you the strength of peace to cope with the situations moment to moment as you live. That's why he tells you to go to know God in the graveyard. He says, my God is with the living, not with the dead. Get with it in your action. Get to know yourself right here. All the life is now. So these men understood this science very well, but it was difficult to communicate it through the centuries. Today we have come to where we can grasp very fast and use it.